You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you here. Well, here's a list of everyday items. See if you can spot a pattern here. Scissors, shampoo, bottle of Gatorade. What do all these things have in common? You know the answer to that. These are all things that we're not allowed to carry on an airplane. And we all know why. After 9/11, we got the Transportation Security Administration. And after the TSA, we got that ever-growing list of things that they will take away from you at the airport. But the former commissioner of the TSA, administrator, is a guy named Kip Hawley. He says this is the wrong approach to airport security. Writing for the Wall Street Journal, Kip Hawley says the system we have today serves only to make traveling unpleasant and doesn't necessarily make us any safer. And Kip Hawley says a lot of these things I just mentioned should be allowed on an airplane. He joins me now in the studio. And Kip Hawley's also the author of the new book, Permanent Emergency Inside the TSA and the Fight for the Future of American Security. Mr. Hawley, hello.
Hi. Glad to be with you.
Thanks for being here. All right. You say, let's get right to it. Looking for cigarette lighters has TSA inspectors looking for the wrong thing, has them looking for a lot of lighters and not for, say, bomb components. You even say that you'd let box cutters and pocket knives back on planes because those aren't going to bring a plane down anymore. It's just that passengers wouldn't stand for it. That sounds amazing.
Well, first of all, the lighters are allowed back on planes, and it was based on the risk analysis that said that they have electronic detonators that work all the time, and a lighter is of no use really to them. And we were finding one in the three bags had lighters, so the officers were going in there picking out lighters. But the interesting thing is it took an act of Congress, literally an act of Congress, to get the lighters off the prohibited items list.
So because Congress had said you got to find lighters, and so you couldn't put lighters off the list even if you wanted to.
Precisely. And with the scissors, we in 2005 took scissors and small tools off the list, and there were two acts of Congress introduced to overturn our allowing scissors back on planes. So any time that you try to pull something off, there's always somebody who comes up and says, well, there'll be blood running in the aisles. That's literally what they said.
The stewardesses union said that, right?
Yeah, the flight attendants,
yeah.
Yes, and they were concerned that they would be held hostage. But the actual possibility of taking an airplane over with, I think, any blade is not possible anymore. And today, while it was effective in 2001, 2002, perhaps, to stop hijackings or similar attacks, there is no possibility that somebody's going to hijack a plane with a blade at this point. So we still have those security measures stuck in there like a brick in the wall, and we need to start taking out the ones that are bypassed. And it clutters up the checkpoint and makes people crazy.
Now, you say from somebody like your perspective or an administrator of the TSA, somebody concerned with security, the real imperative is not to stop a person – and this might sound a little crass, but from your perspective, the job is not to stop a person from getting cut on a plane or even assaulted. The job is to stop a plane from being taken over and used as a weapon in a terrorist act. And therefore, that's the different thinking that goes into this.
Yes, that's a good crass way of putting it.
Right.
And it is really – it's the catastrophic event that you want to prevent. And that's the risk management. To what lengths are we willing to go to stop somebody getting cut on a plane versus we can make this whole thing go a lot smoother if we just focus on bombs, toxins, guns, things that can kill a lot of people or kill an aircraft.
And everybody has a concern for their safety. Everybody wants to be in fact, insists on being safe on planes. But let's face it, Americans lose sight of security sometimes and they're just darn annoyed when they line up for screening. I know I am. You know that millions of Americans are. You've observed them. So you have a list in the Wall Street Journal here.
Yes.
You wrote an editorial that's related to your book called Permanent Emergency Inside the TSA and the fight for the future of American Security. And let's just run down the list and we can do it sort of quickly here. No more banned items. We went down some of them, but you say no banned items at all.
Well, except for
the obvious
ones. Kill lots and lots of people. But why are we pulling out all those Swiss Army knives and anything that could look like a Swiss Army knife, they're stopping a bag. If you told the officers you don't need to worry about that now, that is going to take away a lot of the work and allow them to focus on explosives.
Allow all liquids, you say.
Yes.
Even that big quart of Gatorade that I want to bring.
Yeah, bring five or six of them. It's the technology exists to detect threat liquids. The only reason, in my view, that it's not out there is because some have said, well, there are too many false positives and it will slow the lines down. And my point is, why don't you create two or three lanes for people who don't mind standing a little bit longer to bring in their five pints of Gatorade or quarts of Gatorade, whatever they're bringing on.
Liter of Jack Daniels is the case, maybe.
Liter of Jack Daniels. Right,
which is often the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. People go to the duty-free store,
sure.
Whatever.
This is a little bit more bureaucratic. You say give the officers at the TSA more freedom to be inventive but also hold them accountable.
Yes, and that is simply saying that the brain is the most advanced technology on the planet. Switch it on. Let these officers use their brains and not try to recite a standard operating procedure.
People are going to love this one. We're going down your list, five ways to make the TSA more efficient, Kip Hawley. Eliminate baggage fees. People are going to love that. Why do you say that?
Well, it's right now a incentive for people to bring everything they've got through the checkpoint, and that just makes the line slower and gives the officers a much more difficult time.
They stuff everything in their carry-on because they got to pay otherwise.
Right, right. And there's a fee that the airlines pay TSA right now, and for my money, what I'd say is give them back their fee. Say, look, we'll not take your fee. You just dump the baggage fee to the passengers, and TSA will make enough money to offset the fee by the fact that the lines are going to go smoother, it's less costly, and they'll have better security by finding more dangerous items.
Your last point is to randomize security, make things a little more confusing for would-be terrorists.
Yes, because you can't say one category of people over 75, people under 12, people who frequent fly. You know, you can't take one category and say they're exempt. We'll focus on everybody else because Al-Qaeda has an unlimited supply of people who can fit whatever category you select.
Got to keep them guessing. And you say in your article that predictability is deadly. The TSA gets a lot of criticism, perhaps some of it justified, but they are dealing in life and death. Let's not forget that. Kip Hawley is a former administrator of the TSA. He's got a new book, Permanent Emergency Inside the TSA and the Fight for the Future of American Security. I will say this, Kip Hawley, you say we got to keep the shoe searches. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but apparently there's good intelligence that says we still got to take off our shoes. Thanks for being in the studio.
You bet. Thanks,
Todd. Appreciate it.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.